This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, here's what we got. We'll talk about the making of a domestic terrorist a little bit this hour. Going to make fun of the Air Force here in just a minute. Going to do a bunch of emails. We'll get the headlines at some point in time. I don't know. Well, I don't even know what all's on tap. But we are going to begin here before we get to the rest of this stuff. I did this once already. I meant to do it a few more times. I just want to remind everyone what I said last week. In case you forgot what I said last week, this was me just last week.
We're going to try to half attack. We're going to do two different things. We're going to, A, we're going to launch some strikes over there so we can look really tough. But we've been warning you for a week now, so we're going to end up, you watch, Chris, go ahead and write this down. Go ahead and mark this one down. We will launch some strikes, probably this weekend. We will launch some strikes. There will be many, many, many strikes. Pick a number. I don't know, 20, 30, 100. There will be minimal loss of life. There will be fewer people dying in our response than the amount of strikes there are. Write that down, Chris. Get ready. I'm going to play it ad nauseum when it happens. Why is it going to happen that way? They warned all these people ahead of time so they could get out before we struck. Then they get to strike and go on television in front of the American people and say, look, we launched these airstrikes. Let it be known to everybody. This is what happens when you attack America. How many strikes did you send over there, Mr. Kirby? He's going to say, we hit them 200 times. Oh, wow, 200 times. And how many people were killed in those? Seven. Today, Dana Bash asked NSA's Jake Sullivan about the 85 airstrikes that only killed 16 people. Here's how that went.
But is there anything more you can tell the American people who are looking to the administration to not just avenge the death of three soldiers, but also concerned about the region in general? Who got hit? Who got killed? What got taken out?
Well, first of all, Dana, the president has approached this with a straightforward principle.
Yeah, I don't have the energy to listen to all that once again. He goes on to describe nobody who was killed, and we hit some targets and stuff like that. All right. Now, let's discuss what's happened inside of the military. Again, this is something we've discussed over and over and over again. But it is something, it's something we have to talk about ad nauseum, because when we finally see the fruits of what I'm discussing here, it's going to be awful. Really, really awful. And what fruits am I talking about? Let's start at the back end. You know how you feel when our troops get killed. I know how I feel. It hurts patriots. It hurts people who love the country, and it hurts people who appreciate service. Not just people who've served, it's not unique to them, but people who appreciate that kind of service, the sacrifice, the time away from family. Watching them die for our country hurts us as patriots, and it should. You should feel it in your heart when people die for your country, right? You remember how you felt when the 13 died in Afghanistan. I remember how I felt. Probably the angriest I've ever been on the radio. I don't know that I've ever yelled that loud. You know I don't like to yell and scream. It's horrible. I lost it that night. Gosh, I almost got choked up on the air. You remember how you felt when the SEALs went into the water? When the reservists from Georgia died? You remember how you felt? Well, there's going to come a moment when a lot of our service members are going to die. We have been thankfully spared that for the most part in our nation's history. Now, I realize many, many, many people have died on behalf of this nation, but the real tragic military days you see other nations have time and time again throughout their history, we have thankfully avoided those days. You know, a bad day in World War II, a bad battle in World War II. Yes, 5,000-10,000 dead. That's really bad. I'm not dismissing it. That's not a million, right? A million's about our total forever. But when your military ends up being eclipsed by other militaries around the world, you oftentimes don't really find that out until that day comes, until you look around one day. The stories, it's fascinating if you want to read what this is like for nations. You can read many nations and figure out what it's like. The Romans is one of the more fascinating ones. The Romans, remember, we're relatively young, but forever, for in their minds, basically all of human history, they had been kicking everyone around. They're the Romans. Yeah, they lost a battle or two here, and the Germans beat them here, and Hannibal beat them up a couple times here, but we're Romans. In the end, we're better than everyone militarily, right? Right? And you read what they were talking about, what they were thinking about, when they started to lose regularly, it was such a shock to them. It was like they woke up one day and they weren't number one anymore. Well, the thing is, it's not that day. It takes years of degradation. You just find out on that day because that's the day you're truly tested. That is the day I live in fear of. No, it doesn't keep me up at night, but when I think about it, I agonize over it, because the people who die on that day or days, it's not going to be the piece of trash generals and admirals who've done this to us, the politicians. It's going to be the good men and women, 18 years old, 19 years old, signed up for adventure, to serve, better themselves, and they are the ones who don't get to come home. They never get to be fathers. Mothers. In fact, mothers and fathers get a knock on the door and they're told that Junior's never coming home again. Have fun at Christmas this year as you look at the tree when Junior's not around. That day worries me a lot. And watching these people destroy the military is awful for those of us who understand that day is coming. Look, there's a lot that goes into this. We might as well start talking about a lot of it. There's a lot that goes into this. A lot of the reason that day is coming is the good people are getting out. They're getting out. They don't want to be part of it anymore. I can't count how many emails I have from people who are in. Obviously, the show's popular with people who are in. I'm sure that's, I don't know why, but I like it. But they email, Jesse, I'm about done. Jesse, I'm finishing my 20. I'm gone. Jesse, I'm done after this. I can't take it anymore. Jesse, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I'm looking. Actually, let me pull this up real quick. I'm looking at email. One of my sources in the Army, I'm actually looking at an email from him as we speak. He's sending me slides they have to go through for their DEI training. And what it is, it's just slide after slide after slide, chart after chart after chart, diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility mission. Diversity, equity, and inclusion, and accessibility vision. It's filth. It's awful. And they're getting out. Well, the good people are getting out because they don't want to serve under that. The good people are getting out because they don't want to serve in a military where only the people on the ground are held accountable. People on the ground, the normal people, are held accountable when they screw up. Oftentimes, you don't even have to screw up, but something goes bad. You are held accountable for it. In the meantime, the Secretary of Defense can preside over one of the most disastrous, embarrassing military things in the history of this country with no regrets whatsoever.
You said you executed the president's order. You didn't tell us what you advised the president to do. But do you have regrets about the withdrawal from Afghanistan?
I support the president's decision.
Do you have regrets about the withdrawal or how the withdrawal occurred from Afghanistan that cost the lives of 13 of our service members?
I don't have any regrets.
You don't have any?
Good people who are in, who are held to account, they see that and they want to leave. Good people who are in, who want to fight for this country, who love the country, love family, have values, they don't and won't serve under this, so they're leaving, and it's leaving us naked.
Why is diversity important to the Air Force?
Diversity is important to the Air Force because the world is diverse.
Because without it, we're limited.
It's what makes the Air Force stronger.
When we collaborate with people from different backgrounds, we always come up with multiple solutions.
We need all diversity of thought, and we need to honor the values and opinions of everyone in the United States Air Force.
I think it's important for us to see possibility in our senior leadership, and diversity brings that to the table as well.
Exclusive. This is from Daily Caller. Use your privilege. Air Force promotes all-day allyship training. Good people are leaving. They don't want to serve under this. This is creating a recruitment crisis, a retention crisis. And it's going to create and is creating a military devoid of patriots, because the patriots don't want to stay in. They can't keep them in. No matter what they try to do, they can't keep them in because they won't serve under this. The military brain drain is real. And I'm very, very concerned we're not ready. And the day, on that day, that terrible day when it gets here, everyone will wake up and realize it, and by then it's too late. That's why I talk about this stuff so often. All right, let's get to some emails. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember how we've been talking about how a lot of GOP representatives, how they're compromised in some way? They've been compromised either by, I don't know, our own FBI. Not that they would ever do such a thing, by foreign powers, by powerful business interests here at home. Think about it. Think for a moment if you're a gigantic defense contractor, if you will, multi-billion dollars at stake with every single engagement the U.S. military gets in. Do you think it would be, if you had no morals whatsoever, do you think it would be a worthwhile investment to invest in a domestic operation, if you will, where you could create compromising situations for GOP House or Senate members so then you could use that later to blackmail them? Do you think that would be beneficial to you? Oh, it happens a lot. It's how politics, frankly, has always worked. American politics is no different. Bribery, blackmail, sadly, is how things get done. How often do you turn on the news and you see a GOP representative, maybe one who's previously been good on most things, and all of a sudden he sounds like a card-carrying Democrat, and you look around and you say, what happened to that guy? What happened to that guy is he got a visit to his office. Or maybe Maybe he got stopped on his way to his car. And he was informed, probably politely, maybe not, that he really, really needs to change direction on certain things, or else things may come out about him. Anyway, totally unrelated, here's Ken Buck on the impeachment of Mayorkas.
If we start going down this path of impeachment with a cabinet official, we are opening a door as Republicans that we don't want to open. The next president, who is a Republican, will face the same scrutiny from Democrats. It's wrong, and we should not set this precedent.
But Jesse, they're already doing that. Doesn't Ken Buck know? They've already done that. They did it to Trump. They impeached him twice. No. Ken Buck knows. He knows. He understands that. I maintain my theory, and I have and I will. Ken Buck is compromised somehow. I've never been convinced of that. You've never heard me accuse a GOP politician of that, although many are guilty. I wasn't totally convinced of that till the last time he got to interview Christopher Wray. Chris, do we have that cut? When Ken Buck was interviewing Christopher Wray. And this is, look, the FBI, the list of crimes this criminal organization has committed, it is long and it's ugly. But it's gotten longer and uglier recently. And it's gotten really bad and really bad and really bad. And they're arresting pastors and infiltrating the church and gunning people down in the middle of the night in Utah. I mean, committing horrific acts. Even moderate GOPers are asking hard questions of the FBI. And then Ken Buck steps up and says this.
I want to thank you for leading an agency, as you mentioned in your opening statement, that protects Americans from foreign terrorists, that an agency that protects Americans from spies from China and Russia, and cybercrime and public corruption and organized crime and drug cartels and human traffickers and white-collar criminals. And I want to thank you and the FBI for protecting law-abiding Americans from the evil that exists all around us. And frankly, I am not in favor of defunding the FBI, nor am I in favor of splitting up the FBI, nor am I in favor of using the Holman rule for the FBI director.
All right, pause for a moment. Chris, keep that soundbite up, because you're going to play it again in a second. Keep that soundbite up. Pause for a moment. I want you to listen to that with a little bit of a different ear. Remember, the power structure in this nation is supposed to be the FBI underneath Congress. Congress is tasked with having oversight over the FBI. So if you're Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, and you get called in front of Congress to answer questions, you should be afraid. It's like you screwing up something at work and getting an email, hey, boss wants to see you in his office at 2 p.m. Eastern time. You should be worried. And what would your attitude be like when you walked into that meeting? Probably have a pretty good one, right? Yes, sir. I brought you a cup of coffee. Extra cream. It's your favorite, right? Now, Chris, I want you to play that again. And I want to ask everyone, I want to ask you something. All you can hear is Ken Buck here. Does Ken Buck sound like the guy who's in charge? Or does Ken Buck sound like the guy who's in trouble and trying to make sure the boss knows he's going to be a good little boy?
I want to thank you for leading an agency, as you mentioned in your opening statement, that protects Americans from foreign terrorists, that an agency that protects Americans from spies from China and Russia, and cybercrime and public corruption and organized crime and drug cartels and human traffickers and white-collar criminals. And I want to thank you and the FBI for protecting law-abiding Americans from the evil that exists all around us. And frankly, I am not in favor of defunding the FBI, nor am I in favor of splitting up the FBI, nor am I in favor of using the Holman rule for the FBI director.
Does that sound like the guy who's in charge? Does it? Doesn't sound like the guy who's in charge to me. Remember when Christopher Wray went and sat in front of Chuck Grassley? Chuck Grassley is the big cheese for the GOP on the Senate Judiciary Committee. This is one of the most powerful, maybe the most powerful committees in the country, and he's a senator. Christopher Wray should be pooping his khakis when he gets called in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and here's how the exchange went.
Senator, I had
had a flight that I'm supposed to be hightailing it to out of here, and I had understood that we were going to be done at 1:30, so that's how we ended up where we are.
If it's your business trip, you got your own plane. Can it wait a while?
Sorry, to be honest, I've tried to make my break as fast as I could to get right back out of here.
Yeah, so you took more than 5 minutes.
The plane was his private jet, and he was leaving for vacation. Could stop or stall at any time he wanted. So unafraid of the Senate GOP, flat out tells him, hey, wrap it up, Senator. I got to go. Compromised. I'm telling you, an uncomfortable number of our representatives are compromised. And I'm telling you something else. Your dog's health is being compromised by his dog food. Hey, look, don't shoot the messenger. Dog food is awful for dogs. I wish it wasn't the case. And in many countries, it is not. Not trying to dog on my own place here, but we mass produce dog food. It's all brown because it's all dead. Oh, I know. This is the special salmon blend. Oh, I know at one point in time there was living things in your dog's food. They cooked it all out of it at the dog factory, the dog food factory, so it will last longer on the shelf. Our dogs die at 10 because they never get vitamins, probiotics, omega oils, digestive enzymes, antioxidants, all the things all living things need to survive. Our dogs never get them. Honestly, it's surprising they live until 10. Probably the table scraps we sneak them. Start pouring Rough Greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement. Watch improvement in your dog. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than the championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. You know why I'm so hard on the GOP? Why I get so angry with them? I hate it that the bad people are bold and the good people are afraid. The people who are right on the issues are afraid in this culture. And the evil demons, they're unafraid. And that's the exact opposite of how it has to be if we're going to save the country. I'm going to play two different things for you here. The first thing, I played it earlier. I want you to listen again. This is a communist, founder of, quote, woke kindergarten. This is a communist who teaches children. Yes, evil, murdering demon, no question. But I want you to listen. I want you to listen to her boldness. Listen to her resolve. This is a human being who intends to burn it all down.
And I am 100% 10 toes down anti-Israel. I believe Israel has no right to exist. I believe the United States has no right to exist. I believe every settler colony who has committed genocide against native peoples, against indigenous people, has no right to exist.
And you want to know who should be combating that? One of the main forces, the main force that should be combating that in this country? It's actually not GOP senators. It's the American church. The American church should be boldly fighting the culture war in every front of this nation. Boldly. Not passive. Boldly. I want you to listen to this. Guy's name is Curtis Chang. He's a pastor. You heard how bold the communist was. Now listen to our side.
The Sunday morning sermon is actually a really bad way to deal with something like politics. I guarantee you, if you go up on Sunday morning in most congregations and you try to preach the one sermon on politics that you haven't been preaching on for a long time, your Monday morning inbox is going to be an ugly scene. And that's honestly why most pastors, or many pastors, don't preach on politics on Sunday morning, because they instinctively know my Monday morning inbox is going to look awful if I do that.
My Monday morning inbox? I'm going to get angry emails? Let me ask you, do you think she stresses about the angry emails she'll get?
And I am 100% 10 toes down anti-Israel. I believe Israel has no right to exist. I believe the United States has no right to exist. I believe every settler colony who has committed genocide against native peoples, against indigenous people, has no right to exist.
You think she stresses? When she sits there and she plots her next curriculum for her kindergartners, when she sits down and she thinks about chopping Aiden, Jaden, and Braden's penis off, when she sits down and she thinks about how she's going to teach your daughter to hate her father and her nation, do you think she sits and stresses about the angry emails she'll get on Monday? No. That vile little demon boldly pushes the things she wants. And these are the people on our side who are supposed to be leading the charge. Pathetic.
The Sunday morning sermon is actually a really bad way to deal with something like politics. I guarantee you, if you go up on Sunday morning in most congregations and you try to preach the one sermon on politics that you haven't been preaching on for a long time, your Monday morning inbox is going to be an ugly scene.
You should never take a bold stand on Sunday morning with your congregation. Oh, really, Pastor? Why not? Is there a biblical reason behind that? No, I'm going to get some angry emails. Are you kidding me? They used to skin the martyrs alive and make them walk around town carrying their skin before they finished them off. And today's pastors won't talk about culture war stuff because Karen might send a nasty email? You've got to be kidding me. What a bunch of sissies. Honestly, this is pathetic. I honestly don't believe America could be saved unless the church is reformed. I do not. Without an American church leading anti-communism, I don't think we can defeat it. And whatever this skinny jean-wearing bunch of dorks are we have now in this country, they're not going to do it. That whatever that is, that ain't going to get it done. We're going to lose to the demons. Hey, Jesse, I was wondering how you feel about divorce between the red and blue states. Well, we talked about national divorce a lot, and it's a very controversial subject. Everyone loves to talk about it now as it gets more and more real. I've told you to move. I've told you why I think you should move. I will say this about national divorce. It really doesn't matter whether you love it or hate it. Maybe you're a big promoter of it. Yeah, we need a divorce. Maybe you hate it. No, that's crazy. You're a traitor. We can't give up anything. It really doesn't matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter what I think about it. Our opinions, your opinion, my opinion, totally unimportant. They're moving. People will not live underneath this without
end. I have children who attend schools who have soccer games, y'all. Yes, you know, you all are asking me as if I'm not a parent in this city. I get it. I'm mayor. I get it. But you're asking me to give you a date, and I have to court. Do you understand that you have not had a mayor like me? I get that. I have a wife. I have children. They have schedules. And
they're not going to live in Chicago. They're going to move. And they get out to the burbs of Illinois, which Illinois, one of the more underrated, beautiful states. And you know what's really, really crazy? Chris, you want to look up something nuts? Look this up. Do an internet search for the congressional map of Illinois for how they voted. It's insane how red Illinois is land-wise. It's just Chicago controls the state because it's the population hub. So you have all these people, farmland, really fertile farmland, great land in Illinois, and they're subjected to this horrible commie state government. They're not going to stay. They're going to move. People aren't going to stay in New York. They're going to move. They're not going to stay in California. They're going to move. Once the government has become fully communist, as the individual state ones have, then people will flee while they can flee. Again, it doesn't matter what I think about national divorce, what you think about national divorce, whether we support it, whether we aid it, it's inevitable. Human beings will not live underneath a hostile government without end. They will either cast off their government, or this is the more likely scenario, if it can be done, they will move. Moving is the path of least resistance. So again, if you're one of these people who says, well, they shouldn't move, they should stay and fight. Again, what you think about it or what I think about it is unimportant. I say they should move, you say they shouldn't, but neither of our opinions matter. People will move. If you're a moving van away from getting out from underneath a hostile government, you will get the moving van and you will move. And even if you individually won't, most people will. Again, this is not an opinion, it's data. You really saw this ramp up during COVID and it's still really high. States like Florida are now solidly red states because other states were awful. Florida remained open. And Florida was then filled with people fleeing their commie governments to live underneath one that was not hostile to them. The divorce is neither good nor bad. It is inevitable. You know what else is inevitable? Headlines I didn't get to and some emails and stuff. You know what else is inevitable? How wonderful you're going to feel when you start taking chop. I talk a lot about energy, and energy is one of those things you don't always realize how low energy you are until you change that. You get on a stack, try the female vitality stack, ladies, male vitality stack for men, but you get on a stack from chalk, give it a couple months, wait till you see how much energy you have. You may still choose to have that afternoon cup of coffee, you won't need it. It's so much fun having a mind that doesn't slow to a crawl by the end of the day just because you're out of energy. Natural herbal supplements. No more big pharma. Natural herbal supplements. You want to really rev up your day? Go get some Chad Mode. You should hear Jewish producer Chris's story about Chad Mode. The guy doesn't have any sleep. He was bouncing off the walls. Again, all natural. Chuck.com. Huge discount until the end of February for the lifetime of your subscription. So now is the time. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. We will be back again tomorrow and going to work all 5 days this week. You can email the show and should Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Now, before I play this little Al Sharpton bit on MSNBC, sounding like a full-blown Trump hat-wearing Republican talking about illegals, you should know that Al Sharpton hates me. And the feeling is mutual, right? The feeling is mutual. But even back when I was running for Congress, Al Sharpton did some nasty hit piece on me on his show. He had some show. I think it was MSNBC then, too. He was talking about how I'm the devil and all this stuff. My old man has not been a fan of Al Sharpton ever, right? He was not a fan of Al Sharpton ever. When he saw Al Sharpton on TV ripping on his boy, whoo, boy, he was spitting nails that day. Well, I'm telling you right now. Now, that said, Al Sharpton, what is he? He's a black supremacist. Has been for a very long time. That's what he is. That's the issue he cares about, black supremacy. The black neighborhoods are getting flooded with illegals in the big cities. Now, why is that happening? Because the black neighborhoods are the poor neighborhoods in the big cities. And these big cities, they aren't going to put the illegals in the rich neighborhoods with the rich people. They're going to dump the illegals by the poor people. And so they'll all go into the black neighborhoods. This is not landing all that well. Here's a minute of Al Sharpton, or is this actually me?
And what is being done to get the public to really rise up in various states to say to their senators that they want to see the border issue resolved? I mean, you're getting migrants beating up policemen in the streets in New York. You're seeing an influx of migrants all over the country that frankly have people outraged. And couldn't there be some kind of public pressure put in the next couple of days in some of these senator states saying, why are you allowing this to continue? Because at the end of the day, senators have to deal with their voters. And at the same time, in the bill, you give money to Gaza, to civilians in Gaza and Israel. But the border, I mean, we're looking every day at the invasion of migrants and they're playing a time game with politics on this. Couldn't that pressure put to bear in their home states?
Okay, so here's what you're hearing here. The communist street groups, remember, they're true believers. The elite communists are not true believers. They don't believe in anything they say. John Kerry doesn't care about the climate, right? Barack Obama doesn't think the oceans are rising. That's why he bought an $11 million mansion on the water. They don't believe. But the street communists do. And one of the more fascinating, I will not call it heartbreaking because it's oftentimes one of the only sunny parts of the story, but one of the most fascinating parts of communism historically is when they get to the part where the street thugs, the communist street groups, when they're not needed anymore, or when the elites find a better friend and they simply remove them. These street communists have looted and pillaged for so long, and they think at the end there'll be some pot of gold, that there'll be some seat at the table for them. But that's never, ever, 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 ever how it works. When they're done using the street communists, they are cast aside. Ow, listen to me. I know the black supremacist activism has been a great gig for a long time. Did you actually think Democrats cared about black people? Did you really think that? Did you think that they ever cared even a little about black people? Ow, brother, you got used. They used you for a long time for money and power. They never once cared, ever, even a little bit. And now, look, The illegals are more reliable because they're endless. Illegals for communists are an endless supply of blood-sucking Democrat votes, an endless supply. They don't have to stress about you and your neighborhood or this neighborhood here. Illegals are so much less headache. Ow, brother, your time is over, man. You got used. Maybe wake up before it's too late, huh? All right, before I get to headlines, let's talk about something good, really, really good. We're all trying to figure out how to withstand a market that's hostile to us, right? What do you do when the trash in the dollar, the trash in the market, the trash? What do you do? Well, you have to invest in things you can touch and feel. Hard assets is what they're known as. Hard assets, things you can touch and feel. Done for you real estate teaches you and walks you through acquiring real estate. This is for normal people. How does a normal person get a home to rent out and then turn that into two homes and three homes and 10 homes one day? Soon you're retiring on it. How do you do that? I don't know. Done for you real estate does it for you. They find you the best properties in the best markets. They vet them. They get the financing. They get it insured. They handle the rental process. They handle the freaking closing paperwork. You, normal person, get to watch a hard asset grow for you. Go to doneforyoujesse.com. Let them help you. Doneforyoujesse.com. All right? All right.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Online extremism is decades in the making. This is from Time Magazine, and they're showing on the front cover a bunch of KKK guys doing some training in 1981. The American system, the system in this country, is going to do a lot to make you seem like some sort of domestic terrorist. A lot. They have done a lot, and they're going to do even more. Oh, here we go. Speaking of Al Sharpton, Dems blame misinformation for Biden's dwindling support among black voters. Yes, you see, you black people just don't understand how good you have it. This hasn't been communicated to you yet. Anyway, enjoy the new Spanish-speaking wing of your high school. Since the Ohio train derailment, accidents have gone up, not down. The death of everything. The death of everything. NYPD pulls the plug on its Times Square subway police robot. Anyone who spent 5 minutes in New York has known that that robot was not going to be long for this world. I can't even imagine how many hobos peed in that thing before they finally discontinued it. All right. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can download the podcast on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. We will do it again tomorrow, and I will talk to you then. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.